Hi, I'm Neely Jones, your host of Focus on Suppliers. Walmart has announced that next year, they'll invest more on e-commerce than on new stores. That tells suppliers they, too, need to focus on growing same-store sales as well as e-commerce experiences and maximizing those opportunities. Today, we're going to talk with Sam and Nick about rich content, connecting with omnichannel shoppers, and a legal expert breaks down e-commerce contracts. Plus, we stop by the NWA Tech Summit. Focus on Suppliers starts now.
Focus on Suppliers is presented by 8th & Walton, the premier destination for supplier development, and sponsored in part by Dun & Bradstreet, Saatchi & Saatchi X, Case Stack, Excel Displays & Packaging, and other outstanding companies.
Your millennial fun fact is that 72% of millennials actually go online and do research and shop products before making their purchase. What's important for them is as they check out a product or check out a service that they're going to engage in and buy, that they have all of the information available to them before they make that purchase. They care more about value and price than anything else. In fact, this generation cares more about it than any that we've seen in the past. So we've got to make sure that we're really, really engaging them on price and value communication. We've got to motivate them by making it easy for them to shop online, learn about the products, and then purchase and engage. We've got to facilitate that by giving them free shipping, deals, and coupons, and really making it easy in that seamless environment to purchase either online or in store. You've got to make sure that you're connecting in ways that matter, and again, pushing price, value, and ease of shopping. And we'll see you for your next Millennial Minute.
We're talking about e-commerce today, as you know. So we want to take a look at the legalities when it comes to contracts. So we have a legal expert here with us today. Please join me in welcoming Richard Levin, who is here from Hall Estill. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Let's start out by just defining a contract, if you will.
Well, the contract is easy to define, and that is simply a binding agreement between two parties that says what the parties have agreed to. And that's probably one of the biggest things that we need to talk about when we talk about written contracts or about e-contracts. When you're talking about either of them, what is a binding agreement? How do you make it binding? Does it have to be in writing? And the answer to that question is easy. No, unless it involves real estate. So, you know, two parties could agree to something and then go on. But as my dad always used to say, he would get involved in a contract. He never put it in writing. It would always be verbal. And he said, "My word is my bond." And I said, "That's great." I said, "What'd you have for lunch yesterday?" And that's a problem because he couldn't remember that. So you're really not entering into contracts because you need to put them in writing. You are entering into contracts because it's something that needs to be memorialized so the parties can understand what they agree to. When you're dealing with a contract that's in writing, you can look at it, you can turn the pages. That you can't do that with e-commerce. With e-commerce, you're looking at something on a screen and you're either agreeing to it or not agreeing to it. Well, how do you agree to it? That's a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's the difficulty with e-commerce agreements, whether they be emails that are going back and forth or whether it be something like a contract that is there. When you sign all of those agreements and say, "I agree to all the terms and conditions of this particular site," guess what? You're signing a contract. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, and the courts have said, if you don't do that, or if you don't have notice to agree, then they may not be binding. And they found a number of them that aren't.
Well, and that brings me to my next question. There's some issues, or could be, with enforceability then.
Absolutely. And the enforceability goes back to the fact of whether or not that e-commerce contract is the same as the contract you would have entered into if it was in writing.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, when you talk about things like fraud, when you talk about overreaching, when you talk about unconscionability, when you talk about no consideration, or you talk about no notice, or that you agreed to it, you know, some of these sites just simply say, "Well, if you're reading this, you agree to it." Well, the courts have said, no, that's not true. You don't automatically agree mm-hmm. to something like that.
Mm-hmm. So we've got suppliers, entrepreneurs, any number of business owners watching this show, as you know. How do you go about then drafting enforceable contracts?
There's nothing that you would do with an e-commerce contract that you wouldn't do with a normal contract you were looking at. So you're going to have consideration, something that passes between the parties that is of some value. Mm-hmm. You're going to have somebody making an offer, somebody making an acceptance, which sometimes can be hard to tell. You're going to have the terms that are understandable, and that's probably something that we sometimes read that, you know, that 8-point print, and we go, I can't read that. Yet the courts have said, yes, those are enforceable.
Any other advice just to someone trying to figure out the legalese of this industry?
Yeah, you know, if it was me and I was trying to figure out whether or not my e-commerce contract was enforceable, I would look at it and I would print it off, as bad as that is. I know
right.
It isn't a good idea. Print it off. Look at it. And then look at it in the light of, is this the type of contract that would be binding between two parties, whether it was on a screen or whether it wasn't? The second piece that I would give someone of advice that they probably should always remember is that emails can be binding. Emails can bind no matter what you say, no matter what you do. It can still be a contract or can still be binding on you.
So it can be your friend or your enemy if you're not wise. All right.
You bet.
Always good to hear from you and learn from you. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
We'll be right back. Be sure to like 8th and Walton on Facebook.
As we continue to talk about e-commerce, one of the more interesting areas is in books. Digital books are at their lowest sales level since the year 2010, and millennials are trending toward print books. It's great to see print books making such a comeback, and here to talk more about it from ReaderLink is Director of Sales, Brenda Allison. Brenda, good to see you again.
Thanks, you too, Jared.
What do you have for us this time around?
So, speaking of fun things you can do in print that you can't do on E, we brought Little Blue Truck Christmas. So Little Blue Truck himself is kind of a new children's classic. Lots of rhyming, numbers, animal noises, and then at the very end, and again, you can't do this in E.
Oh, there we go.
Lighting up book, and there's Little Blue with his Christmas tree, and it's lots of fun for kids and adults.
Okay, outstanding. That's for the kids. What do you have for the adults on the bookshelf?
So here are Chip and Joanna Gaines. I don't know if you know them.
Not personally.
Stars of Fixer Upper on HGTV, which is a huge hit. They've turned tiny little Waco, Texas into a tourist destination. And this is their first book. It's a memoir about their life together, their faith, and their family. And it's just a great story.
Okay, fantastic. Now, I always love to find out, what are you reading currently?
Sure. I am reading Wonder by R.J. Palacio. It's actually a middle grade book, so for kids anywhere from 8 and up, but I'm an adult, and it's a great story about kindness and how we treat one another, which is great at any age.
Yeah, brings out the kid in all of us.
That's right.
Brenda, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
So we've been talking a lot about e-commerce and social media. That brings me to two very special ladies. If you don't know them, I'll be surprised. Please join me in welcoming Sam and Nick Chapman. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Let's kind of back up with your story a little bit, and Sam, I'll start with you. YouTube is your friend. How did this all start?
Well, we're both makeup artists. Our aunt was a makeup artist, and she did tons and tons of famous people. Some of them you might have heard of, like David Bowie or Princess Diana.
Nice.
And so when we were growing up, it seemed like a really glamorous thing to do. So we both became makeup artists, trained with her. And then in 2008, I was really heavily pregnant with my second daughter, and I'd finished working, I'd finished freelancing, and someone asked me how to do a smoky eye, and I just thought, well, I'll film it and put it on YouTube. So that's what I did. It went up on YouTube, and this video was solely for her, and then I realised that other people were watching it and commenting and asking questions, and that is how our YouTube channel Pixie Woo started.
Then you started doing it, and it grew.
When Sam had her daughter, I had taken a couple of weeks off work to go and help her because she had two to juggle. So I was like, oh, let me come and help. And she said, I'm doing this thing on YouTube. Do you want to have a go? I was like, what's YouTube? Because at the time, it was so new. I didn't even have a computer. So I went into her kitchen and filmed my first video in my laptop. And, people started commenting, and we were both hooked.
Well, you guys have been in town for new. You were speaking at a special event, and you gave some demonstrations and talked about different ways to do your makeup, and there were some interesting tips that you shared with the people that we want to talk to you about today. You've brought some things with you.
Sure. Yeah.
So we have a line of makeup brushes that are actually sold all over the world, and they were born on YouTube. So we were approached by a company, Real Techniques, who wanted to build brushes that everyone could afford and around us. So we design all the brushes. And at the moment, the hottest thing out is sponges. So we brought some sponges along to show you. We have got the Miracle Complexion Sponge, which can be used damp or dry. Dry if you want more coverage, and damp if you want... damp will stop your foundation from soaking into it because it's already soaked up the water from when you've made it damp. So it gives you a lighter coverage. And with a used dry with a powder, it's going to give you slightly more coverage.
And you said that's your favourite still.
That's
your favourite. Okay, that's your favourite.
I use that every day.
Okay.
I absolutely love that sponge. Nick, I think you like these ones.
I like the mini erasers. But you talk about that one first and then.
This is the Miracle Sculpting Sponge, which is a very unusual shape. And you can use... It's flat on... It's got like flat angles on both ends, so you can use it with a contour product and a highlight to create that really super kind of chiseled face.
I need help with that.
And I love the mini erasers, and this set actually comes with three of them, and I use, keep one spare, I use one wet and one dry. And I use this one for concealer because it fits into any of the smaller areas of the face around the nose. And then I'll use my dry one if I have any fall down or make any mistakes. It just cleans up. It's called a eraser for a reason because it just cleans up any mistakes that you may make.
So it's your friend. That's what you want with you, right?
It's what every makeup user needs.
One of the things that's so fascinating about you guys is e-commerce, social media, you've really learned how to use those two tools. And on this show, we try to help other suppliers without revealing anything too private. What advice would you give them about really showcasing your products and getting out there and the benefits of using social media and e-commerce?
I think it can make or break you. You have to be careful about what you say, but you also have to find your authentic voice and make sure that you're being truthful when you speak.
It's also showing people instantly how something works. You know, you can explain it, you can write it, but if there's a voice actually talking about it and demonstrating it, people can learn so much more from that. So that's why it's great for brushes, because we're showing them. In every one of our videos, whatever makeup we're using a brush to show how it demonstrates the goodness of it.
And really engaging.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, social media has changed the landscape of beauty, really, because you are unable to launch a product that's not very good now. Mm-hmm. Whereas you might have got away with it 8 years ago, you can't now because everything is reviewed and everything is tried against something similar. So if your product just isn't very good, you will fail. Has to be great stuff.
One of the things that a lot of people enjoy about the two of you is that you are able to work with people of all ages, whether they're younger or older. You were saying things change. What's your number one tip?
My number one tip is make sure you feel good in whatever you're wearing, but quite often don't copy exactly what someone else does. So you may watch a video on YouTube and someone's put tons and tons of makeup on and that's not what you would normally wear. Don't just go and copy that. There's so many videos out there that you can find something that works for you or someone that you just engage with and you enjoy. So you'll always find something that works for you. But just dress for you and make up for you.
I think it's very important to find somebody that has a very similar skin type to you. And I don't mean colour because that's irrelevant, actually. But actual skin type. So if you have a dry skin, then the products that someone that has a dry skin uses might be great for you. There's no point in buying those products if you have an oily skin, because those products are not going to give you the best finish.
Such good advice. Okay, so we were talking about this earlier, and I have to ask you, what's it like to work with your sister? I mean, daily.
Do you know what? It's actually really good. I don't think either of us would be able to work with anyone else, because we're both absolute perfectionists, really, and we work really, really hard. So unless you have a vested interest in your business... You know, you probably wouldn't work quite as hard as we do.
And we argue. We're sisters. We argue, but it's forgotten about like that. And then you're like, do you want a cup of tea? Do you know what I mean?
It sounds so lovely when you're like, do we want a cup of tea? You can't be mad at that.
Exactly.
I mean, sometimes it gets kind of heated, but that's just what happens. We spend so much time together. We travel together. We live down the road from each other. You know, our kids play together. We're always at our mum's together. So
when it's heated, we're both like, I'm calling mum. Mum, am I right or wrong?
Mum still settles
and
into
she,
this
she,
day.
She never takes a side either. I'm like, will you just take my side? She's like, nope, Never takes a card.
Well, we're about to run out of time, so I just wanted to ask you if there's any place you want to mention, especially where people can find these particular products that you're here today sharing with us.
You can find these in Walmart.
In Walmart and other places and online and on your website as well.
Yeah, totally on the realtechniques.com website.
And the great thing about them is if you're unsure, they come with education. On the back of the box, there's videos that lead through to show you how to use these products and actually how to use them rather than us talking about them.
And videos that you guys have put together are so helpful. So thank you so much for all you're doing to empower people with their makeup and to feel good about themselves.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Follow Ethan Walton on Twitter.
CaseStack, the leader in collaborative retail consolidation programs. We offer the supply chain expertise needed to navigate the challenges of selling products with the world's largest retailers. And we provide customers with a customizable, scalable, environmentally sustainable supply chain with the same advanced technology typically used by larger rivals. By leveling the playing field, CaseStack lowers distribution costs and increases overall margins. CaseStack, retail logistics is what we do.
Join YouthBridge to make this season extra special for the hundreds of young people who face this time of year cold, hungry, and alone. You can help us provide food, shelter, and gifts so they can experience the same blessings as many of us. Go to youthbridge.com for your tax-deductible donation.
The toy category, awfully competitive and a lot to keep up with. We have a guest with us today who is an expert. Edit Carmen Harmon joins us from JAX. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Quickly, what are some of the trends we're seeing in the toy category?
Right now, there's so many trends going on. Collectability is huge. All over the girl category, blind packs are a lot of fun. People are really into that. It's low price point, high volume purchases, and the collectability is just so fun. And then we have Paw Patrol. He's huge right now. He's the number one show on Nick. And then Peppa Pig's big. There's just a lot of different licenses out there that are really trending.
Well, when we talk about the things that are changing, we're starting to see more diversity in a lot of areas. How is that being incorporated at JAX?
Well, some of our best-selling stores are the coastal stores that have lots of diversity, as you know. Again, some of our highest-selling stores are in Puerto Rico. Elena of Avalar is coming out, and she is really popular. She hit the market first of this fall, and she's on fire. So we're really working hard at growing that out there in the market. Again, our assortment with dolls. Mm-hmm. We work very hard at making sure that there's just not one skin tone, but multiple skin tones to cover all of the diversity in the United States.
We're looking at e-commerce a lot right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everybody is. How has that affected JAX and business?
So I'm glad that you mentioned that. That's a very successful area for us right now. We actually had someone come in that's an expert. His name's Jeremy Upton. He's done a phenomenal job. He's really changed the ballgame for e-commerce for us. He put our entire portfolio up online, and we've seen up to triple digits in some categories. So we're very excited.
And some of the things maybe that he says you must do when it comes to e-commerce.
So you have to be very organized with your item setup, obviously. If you can't go in the store and touch it and feel it, then you need to feel that way online. So he does a lot of uploading sizzles and lifestyle shots and any type of videos or anything he can get a hold of. So the content is very important on every single item.
So not only do you have to focus now on e-commerce, you also have to still focus on brick and mortar, on people coming into the store. What is one way that you do that as far as packaging to get people's attention?
Well, one important thing that Walmart's initiative is right now and they're really focused on is driving consumers from e-commerce also into the store. So their big initiative is pick up today. Mm-hmm. So you can go online, you can pay for the item, and then it'll tell you a store, your local by zip code, where you can go and pick up that item the same day. So that's very exciting initiative for them. And then if there's a store not local that you could find it, they'll ship it overnight to your house.
And how has that helped you guys, but also how do you have to be prepared for that when it comes to having merchandise in stock?
Well, we just need to make sure that we're watching our in-stocks, that we're prepared, we're shipping on time, and then our assortments are definitely broke apart so that you can have that in-store presence with every UPC.
Is there any piece of advice you would give someone that's maybe another supplier watching this show about how to keep up with the trends both online, in-store, and when we see issues like diversity pop up? I know it's a big question, mm-hmm. but what is some advice you would offer?
So you just have to really stay on top of the trends. We're always forward thinking, always forward looking. Diversity is very important. You got to look at the different license. We're a very license-driven company, so we make sure that we, across the board, have lots of fun toys covering all of those different diverse areas.
And that means planning far ahead, I would
think. Yes, absolutely. So right now, I'm in the middle of proposing Fall 17, and we're already getting ready to propose our next year's Blitz items. So planning ahead is so important. It's exciting, but it's very important.
Carmen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'll be right back.
This is Jeff Amrine. We're in the Innovation District in Fayetteville with another great company that's decided to locate in Northwest Arkansas, Metova. I've got two of the senior leaders here, Caleb Hamilton and Kent Watson. Caleb, how you doing?
Doing good.
Kent, how about you?
Great.
Well, listen, guys, we want to understand why Metova decided to locate in the Innovation District here in Fayetteville.
Yeah, so there's two big reasons. The first is the talent pool itself. So we started in Franklin, Tennessee. We had a lot of grasps into the local talent, local colleges there, like Vanderbilt. We had Auburn University, Tennessee Tech. We opened an office in Conway, Arkansas, pulled a lot of talent from UCA. So University of Arkansas was a really big draw for the talent pool in this area, and really working with them, getting interns in, you know, growing that talent, teaching them what they need to know on the job, and then eventually hiring them on full time. So that was a really big pull for us. The second piece to me was our bread and butter has historically been working with startup customers. Mm-hmm. So we take the idea from the back of the napkin to, you know, a published application. And with the amount of startup work up here, it's very appealing, you know, with Hayseed Ventures, a lot of these people here, there's a lot of opportunity for business in the area as well.
Now, that's great. And we're really glad you're here. Now, Kent, you're a Fayetteville guy, and you kind of see this whole thing grow. Why does having talent density and people that are creative around an innovation district like this matter?
Well, the great thing is a lot of technology in the marketplace is actually created in Northwest Arkansas. A lot of people don't know that there's a lot of stuff in the App Store that's built right here. So we have the talent capability. The problem is we don't have the right type of talent. We have a great enterprise base. Those enterprises were and are innovative. However, the technology's kind of settled. So what we need is modern application development skills here in Northwest Arkansas to remain competitive, attract more employers like Metova to this area.
You know, that's really fantastic. And quality of life is a significant part of all this. And we couldn't really build the kind of innovation district we wanted without great companies like Metova. I really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll be right back.
Visit us at 8thandwalton.com to learn how you can become a better partner with Walmart.
Bentonville Commerce, less than 1 mile from the Walmart home office. You'll love the convenience, amenities, and customized options Bentonville Commerce offers. For more information or a tour, call 479-200-1112 today.
Bentonville Plaza, across the street from the Walmart home office. The best office location offers proximity and services like no other business complex in the area. Call 479-200-1112 today.
You just had your buyer meeting. Now there's follow-up to do. Maybe your buyer wants more on seasonal sales or invited you to prepare a joint business plan or set up a date for your line review. 8th and Walton can help. Our experts work with you one-on-one in a confidential setting to prepare for your next buyer meeting. The classes we offer help you too. Retail Link, Supply Chain Management, Inventory Management, taught in cities across the country, in Canada, and in Latin America. So before your next buyer meeting, contact 8th and Walton. Then relax, knowing that you will be ready.
Hello, I am Blake Woolsey, and we're at the Tech Conference today in Rogers, Arkansas. And I have here with me today the director of the IoT Foundry for AT&T, Craig Lee. And we're really excited to have you. Talk to me in a way about IoT. People talk about that, especially those in the tech world. What does that mean in the most simplistic way of describing it?
Well, sure. So IoT has been something that's been around for a very long time. I know I've been doing it well over 10 years at AT&T. And what we look to is having devices or things that are being connected using AT&T services and then bringing that information in. Now, what does that really mean to you and I, right? So if I'm at a party and I describe what I just did and I get the glazed over look, I'll say, well, have you noticed recently that trucks tend to do the speed limit on the highway now where they used to really go fast? All that is IoT. There's tracking systems, there's things that are monitoring speed, location, and that's really helped from a safety and perspective with trucking alone to have IoT implementation on that. So those are some of the, one of the benefits just right off the bat of what you've probably already noticed with Internet of Things and connecting from a safety perspective.
So you mentioned trucking, and that seems like an obvious. What is something that may have been cost prohibitive even just say 18 months ago, 2 years ago, but because of innovation and the development of technology, you're seeing all of a sudden we're being able to solve that problem in a way we couldn't before?
Right, so one of the things that's very interesting here is there's a confluence of solutions, both from at the edge device where the electronics, the chips and things are becoming much more less expensive. The communications that AT&T offers from the devices on into the cloud have become very economical for IoT purposes too. And then we're also seeing a lot of innovation from the standards bodies as we do these communications elements to really tune the way that the Internet of Things devices are going to be interacting with the communications. So now you're getting this ubiquitous coverage that you can have with IoT from an AT&T perspective, and then you're getting very economical ways to put that together. So if there's been some things you've looked at in the past that seemed too expensive or weren't fitting your economics, check again, because a lot of those things have really come together here in the last few years, and it's getting more and more rapid as we do that. So as we really start to look at that hockey stick of IoT devices and products being connected, that's really some of those driving factors.
So you actually have to have the innovators to make that happen, to create things. You now hold 12 patents. Talk to us about the way in which somebody might be able to maneuver and navigate that path of getting a patent.
Sure, so one of the things that's very interesting with patents is it's having a novel idea, and in many cases, that novel idea may not be something that's completely never been thought of before, but it's coming up with some very interesting and novel ways to apply or in a direction that hasn't been approached before. So when you come up with a patentable idea, you might say, oh, I've already seen something close to that. That doesn't mean that it's not a patentable idea that you've had, and actually that helps because there is some prior art body that you could use to say, this is what's there now, this is what I'm doing to make it even more novel, and that's where you can go for the patent. So, you know, much of what we do from a patent perspective is looking at how can we look out 5-10 years from a protection and say, here's an idea that will probably be in, you know, very useful in that time frame. One I just got awarded actually was around how cars can communicate from car to car as they're approaching each other. So a lot of what you see now about how autonomous driving and things, those kind of concepts on helping cars to know who's around them is one of the things that was just one of those patents that I did.
That is great. Craig, thank you very much for joining us today at the conference and sharing some of your thoughts about the IoT. Obviously, it's important here to all of the attendees.
Hi, I'm Keith Mercier. I'm the Global Retail Lead for the Watson Cognitive Business Unit at IBM. So we've been very much rapidly evolving Watson's cognitive technologies. Most people who know Watson remember Watson from playing Jeopardy. Since then, we've been really evolving Watson into a fully fledged system that understands video, imagery, audio. We really believe Watson has an opportunity to transform multiple industries through its ability to understand and make sense of unstructured data. We're seeing a lot of interest in chat-based shopping. So the ability for consumers to ask natural language questions as they're navigating an e-commerce site, for example, is one place where Watson is really playing a role. We're also seeing Watson help out in the supply chain. Think about something such as weather and the impact of weather on your supply chain, whether it's transit, whether it's weather at a local store that might impede a truck getting there on time. We're really using Watson to make sense of that unstructured data that impacts a supply chain for a retailer. We think Watson can play a role and across the entire enterprise, whether that's a store associate being able to use an interactive agent powered by Watson to ask questions about HR policies, whether it's them using it on the sales floor, on a mobile device to help a customer research and make decisions about a product, or a customer self-serving on their own. We know customers love mobile devices and they're navigating brands using their favorite mobile device. What if they could have Watson on there to ask natural language questions about products or what's right for them?
Our guests enjoy staying at the 21C Museum Hotel and hosting dinner, meetings, and product launches there.
That does it for this week's show, but here are three key takeaways for you to jot down. First, remember success in 2017 means success in e-commerce. Also, be proactive and talk with your buyer about how you can maximize your .com business. And I've said it before, I'm gonna say it again. Rich content, it is essential when we talk about your online business, so make sure you're paying attention and get it right. We'll see you back here next week. Thanks for joining us for Focus on Suppliers.